Have a seat. Are you a fight or flight sort of a person? You know, when you're backed into a corner, are you a fight or a flight sort of a person? You know, you're trapped in a jungle. Goodness knows how you got there, but you're in a jungle. And when you hear it, the roar, or the scuttling of feet, what do you do? Do you think, I'm out of here? Get me out of here. Or do you stand your ground? What about if you find yourself in a position where you're deeply embarrassed? Are you the kind of person to fight your way through the stares and the muttering? Stand your ground, whatever. Or do you think about your quickest exit? How could you possibly get straight out of there? I guess it is possible to change. Once upon a time, if you had put me in a room with a spider, I would have been straight out of there. But I had to change my approach. I had to. My children can't get rid of them. And it was just getting embarrassing keeping asking Lisa, my wife, to get rid of them. So I had to change my approach. So now I stay and I fight. Not literally. I get a glass and put it under a glass. But there you go. I changed. In our Bible reading this morning, We hear of Joseph. What was he? Was he a fight or a flight sort of a person? Well, Joseph, our silent witness, is a great example of someone who changed their approach. I say silent witness because Joseph never says a word. In all of Scripture, not a word of Joseph is uttered, or at least nothing is recorded of Joseph. In all of Scripture. And yet his testimony of the events surrounding Jesus' birth is a key part to our understanding Jesus' incarnation, Jesus coming to this earth as a baby. And so as we begin looking at this passage this morning, I want you to put yourselves in Joseph's shoes. Here's what I want us to do. First of all this morning, I want us to see the scandal. What do you picture when you think about the events surrounding Jesus' birth? What's in your mind's eye? Maybe nativity plays come to mind. I'm looking forward to seeing my daughter's first nativity play. I'm sure it'll be amazing, but it won't be accurate. It can't be accurate. Not least because it wouldn't be fun to watch. It wouldn't be warm and cozy. Not the stuff of school productions, because it was full of scandal. Have a look down with me at verse 18. If you've closed your Bibles, we're on page 965. Do have a look at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus... I'll tell you what we're going to do, in fact. We're going to see this from Joseph's perspective. So, just for the sake of this, I'm going to miss out the last four words from verse 18. Let's have a look. Verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. What do we see from Joseph's perspective? Two things. Mary's pregnant, and Joseph doesn't want to be with her anymore. So he was going to divorce her. Now, just to clarify what might seem like a confusion. Mary and Joseph were pledged, it says there in verse 18. And it's not like our 21st century engagement. So today, we have dating, and then we have engagement, and then we have marriage. But back then, what they had was an engagement. And then a betrothal, or a pledge, which is the word we've got there in verse 18. And then the marriage. And the betrothal, the engagement, that could have started many years before, when two families would have agreed that their children would get married. Now, both children could have called it off at any moment, up until the point of the betrothal. The betrothal lasted about a year, and it was absolutely binding. They weren't married yet, so they weren't living together, and they weren't sleeping together, but they were known as husband and wife. And it's why You see though, verse 18, Mary is pledged to Joseph, sort of entered that betrothal part of the relationship. But then later in verse 19, Joseph is called her husband, and if he wants to break it off, he has to divorce her. It's because of that absolutely binding betrothal. So there it is, they're not just dating, they've entered into a legal bond. They promised themselves to one another. And Mary is pregnant. And it's not Joseph's child. Do you see the scandal? All Joseph knows is he is not the father. He had not touched her. People will talk. Mary will be disgraced. And Joseph has a decision to make. Fight or flight. Do you see the scandal? Even in our anything goes society, you can do what you want as long as it makes you happy. The scandal is clear here. Well, imagine the first century when society is about keeping God's law. Fight or flight, Joseph. He chooses flight. Did you notice? He chooses to divorce her. We do see something of Joseph's character here. He could have, you notice there in verse 19, he could have exposed her to public disgrace. He could have made a point of shouting loudly about how she had wronged him and dishonored him. But he didn't. He knows something of God's grace here. He knows something of God's unconditional love. And he chooses not to do that. But still, this isn't the stuff of nativity plays. People would have seen Mary and they would have talked behind her back. Her family would have felt disgraced. Do you feel the scandal? This would not have been something you would record, you would want to record about in your diary, in your family history. In writing about the Saviour of the world, it would have been so much more convenient to have missed this out. But it's recorded. Because despite how awful Joseph would have felt, something changed his mind. Changed his mind so convincingly that his plan to divorce Mary were put aside. He would stick with her through her pregnancy, and he would take Jesus into his household and give him all the rights and privileges of a son. What changed his mind in amongst all that scandal? Well, let's briefly notice three things from what the angel said to him. What's an angel? Well, an angel is a messenger from God. God can speak to his people in many ways today. God's primary way of speaking to us is through the Bible. That's why we call the Bible God's word. But when Jesus came to earth, such was the importance of all that was to take place that God sent his messengers, his angels. And again, it's not the stuff of nativity plays. I'm really sorry if I'm in any way ruining nativity plays for you. I don't mean to. But the thing is, in nativity plays, angels look very sweet. Next Sunday morning, we're having our family carol service, and the boys and girls dress up in kings and shepherds and as angels, and it's absolutely lovely. But whenever an angel, read the nativity narratives, when you see an angel, is always the angel appears, always accompanying with four words. Do not be afraid. They weren't sweet. They were scary. God's messengers from Almighty God. Well, what three things, when pieced together from God's message, could change Joseph's mind? Here's the first. Who Joseph is. Who Joseph is. Have a look down with me at verse 20. After Joseph had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. Who is Joseph? He is a descendant of David, the great King David of the Old Testament. Joseph is royalty. He's royalty. But it's not the fact that Joseph is royalty that should work to convince him. It's the fact that God had promised that it was from David's line, from King David's line, that his chosen king, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, would come. It's there in the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to have to turn to it. I don't have the screen with me. Bear with me a second. So the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23 and verse 5 and 6. The prophet prophesied this. The days are coming, declared the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. This was a prophecy given many years before Jesus was born, given by a God to comfort his people. Though God's people had again and again turned their back on God, lived their lives as if they knew what was best, as if God wasn't their king. And so even though they faced the consequences for their treatment of God, being given what they wanted, what they asked for, being cut off from him, it was God who delivered a message of great hope. It would be from David's family that a king would be born. A person who would be, to use the image from our reading from Jeremiah, a branch from the family tree of David. And this person would be called Yahweh, the Lord, our righteous Saviour. It's the first piece of the jigsaw puzzle for Joseph that would change his mind. It's not enough on its own, but it was vital for Joseph to keep hold of this truth. It was from David's family line that was promised the Saviour of the world, and Joseph is of David's family line. That's the first thing. The second thing to change Joseph's mind. The first thing is who Joseph is. The second is what Mary is. What Mary is. Have a look down again at verse 20. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. What is Mary? She is a virgin. She is expecting a baby boy. No one had touched her. Joseph knows that he hadn't touched her and is ready to divorce her, such is the shame of it all. But God reveals to him that actually no one has touched her. End of verse 20, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Now we already know something of Joseph at this point. We know from verse 19 that he was faithful to the law. In other words, he was a good Jew. He knew his scriptures. He wanted to honour God. And so because of these words from the angel, because of this, the word from the angel wouldn't have gone unnoticed by Joseph. See, the prophet Isaiah, a prophet being someone who shared God's messages with his people, but also pointed by what they said to Jesus, the prophet Isaiah spoke about this. And Joseph would have known. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, written around 700 years before Jesus was born. Matthew helpfully writes in our passage these words from Isaiah chapter 7. You see it there in verse 23. Let me read from verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. It would be a young lady, unmarried, untouched, a virgin, who would have a baby, but not just a baby, a boy. And this boy would be known as God with us. In the mess of life and rebellion against God, there was a promise of rescue and reconciliation between God and people. That's the second piece of the jigsaw. Joseph is a descendant of David, and Mary is a virgin who will give birth to a boy, whose name will be Jesus, which means God saves. But that isn't all. There's one more piece to this jigsaw, and it's this: what Jesus would do. What Jesus would do. Have a look at verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus would do something beyond our wildest dreams. He will save people from their sins. Sin is our rebellion against God. It's our turning away from God's rule over our lives, worshipping things other than God, and it's a problem. Part of the reason it's a problem is that when it comes to sin, God has promised that he will eventually give us what we ask for. So if we ask God and live our lives as if God is not important, if we live our lives as if we are in charge, as if God is not king but we wear the crown, God has promised that eventually he will give us what we ask for all eternity, eternity away from his love. What the Bible calls hell, an eternity away from the presence of God's love and blessing. Sin is a problem. But what would Jesus do? Jesus would save people from their sins. Because this baby didn't stay a baby, he grew up to be the man Jesus, who would experience the greatest rejection the world had ever seen. It was, in fact, the prophet Isaiah who spoke the words that would come to pass of the man Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, we hear this very often at Christmas time. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. What would Jesus do? He would be the one born of a virgin of the house of David, who would be the Lord, our righteous Saviour. God himself would come to save people from the sin which would lead them to an eternity away from God's love. And that's the third piece of the jigsaw, and it changed Joseph's mind. He saw the big picture, that there was on offer a baby boy who would be the great rescuer, born of a virgin, and by taking Jesus into his home and effectively adopting Jesus as his own son, he would bestow upon Jesus all the rights and privileges of sonship that Jesus would then be of David's line. And so the prophecy was fulfilled. From David's line, a saviour was born. This Christmas, are you a fight or a flight sort of a person? When you hear that Jesus isn't just for some people, nor is he just a Christmas card baby. When you hear that before God, we're sinners who deserve eternity without God. What do you want to do with that? Are you a flight sort of a person? Does it sound like too much of an intrusion into your lives to turn to Jesus and have him as Lord over all of your life? Or do you, so to speak, fight? Do you hang around and look at the evidence? That's what Joseph did, wasn't it? He listened and he considered the message and he saw God's plan for what it was, good news. And so he welcomed Jesus. That option is there for us as well, to welcome Jesus into our lives and allow him to be our Saviour. Not a word is recorded from Joseph, our silent witness. And it may be that today you're going to be silent. You'll have tea and coffee and not talk about Jesus as Saviour. You'll go back home and crack on with life and not talk about Jesus as Saviour. You'll go to work and not talk about Jesus as Saviour. But that doesn't have to be it. Joseph's actions were powerful as he welcomed Jesus into his family. We too, if we haven't already, we can welcome Jesus into our lives to be our Saviour. Fight or flight, may I say, the easiest thing to do is flight. To go on living without acknowledging God's rescue plan. But there is a better way. And it's Jesus' way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that in the scandal of Mary's pregnancy, your promises ring true. And so we're able to show Joseph and convince him that he was to take Jesus into his family and accept him as his Lord as well. Thank you so much that many years before Jesus, you promised him to us. You promised that baby to be born, for that king to be born of David's line. And we want to pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that if we haven't already, that we would welcome Jesus into our family, into our lives. And if we have, please continue to give us great assurance of our sins forgiven by the Lord, our righteous Saviour. Amen.